So our series that we have been running for the last 6-7 weeks now has been Christ, Our Message. And today, our subtopic or the title for today's message is Law and Grace. Two covenants, two systems. Okay? Law and Grace. Two covenants, two systems. And our central text is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 17. The book of John, chapter 1, verses 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Who gave the law? Moses. But grace and truth came by who? By Jesus Christ. So important to understand that. Okay? So one of the greatest confusions in the church today is mixing the law and grace. Okay, many believers believe they are saved by grace, but they try to live by law. Okay? They trust the cross, but they still have fear of punishment, fear of hell, the fear of leaving God, the fear of losing salvation. That's a sign of a mixture between the law and grace. Okay? They talk about freedom. We are free in Christ. Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death, but they still live under rules. And you would think they are following the Torah, the Jewish law. Okay? So this mixture produces guilt. It produces fear. It produces hypocrisy. We've talked about this before. And it also produces unstable faith. Because when you're not sure of your standing with God, you get confused and you're not sure about where you really are going. So today we are going to answer very clearly, what is the difference between law and grace? Because you need to know what is the difference between law and grace. If you don't understand that, all those above statements become a reality because you will not walk in that freedom. Okay? And more importantly, we need to answer which one is supposed to govern the believer's life. Because you are either under the law or under grace. One of them is going to be your master. The question is which one? So number one, the law and grace come from different sources. Please note that as early as now, the law and grace come from different sources. Now John 1, we have read John 1, 17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the source of the law is who? Moses. Every time we talk about the law, we are talking about Moses. Actually, the Bible says the law of who? Moses. And then we know grace and truth comes by who? Jesus Christ. Okay? So the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, which were the tablets of stones and the commandments. On top of that, Moses came with 630 other laws. And I think by the end of it, the Jews had over 660 laws that nobody really knows where they came from. Okay? But grace came through Jesus Christ. And that talks about the cross and the Spirit. Are you understanding? So the law is not bad. Please don't get me wrong. The law is not bad, but the law is not the gospel. Following the law, keeping the law, doing the law is not the gospel. The law reveals, and to reveal means to show, okay? So the law shows you what God requires of you. You understand? Now, this is how it works. If there is no law, for example, we know it is wrong to steal, okay? And the reason we know it is wrong to steal is because there is a law that states you should not steal. But if there was no law saying that you should not steal, then stealing would be a blast and nobody would really bother with it. You know, you'd be finding somebody something kept and you'd take it and you'd not feel guilty and nobody would bother you because there is no law. So the law is put there to point to something. Okay? So the law reveals what God requires. But grace reveals what God has provided. Get the difference. The law reveals or shows what God requires of us. But the grace reveals what God has already provided. So the law tells you do, but grace tells you done. Pick the difference. If you don't understand these simple truths, I have repeated them for the last 6 weeks. Today is the seventh week. If you don't understand this, you will still be a Christian that is living under the law and still practicing the tenets of the law. Okay? So, number two, we need to answer the question, the purpose of the law. What was the purpose of the law? So, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, for the law is the knowledge of sin. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Whatever the law says, it says to who? To those who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does that mean? It means the law was given to expose sin. Like I told you, you cannot know sin, stealing is bad, unless there is a law that says, thou shalt not steal. So the law exposes sin. And also the law is used to reveal guilt. And also the law is also there to show man's inability. Okay? What does that mean? You know, when you know thou shalt not do this, that tells you whatever I have done is wrong. Okay? When you do something wrong, there's a feeling you get because you've done something wrong. That is called guilt. And then the law is also put there to show man's inability, because the Bible says, if you do not keep any of this, one of these rules, you have broken all. So you may be the most holy, you may be the longest dresser, you may be the most well-kept behavior and character. But if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, you're a sinner. And according to the Bible, you have committed all the others. You've committed murder, adultery, fornication. You've done every law. You have broken every law according to them. So it shows that man is incapable of keeping the law. The law was never given. Note this. The law was never given to make people righteous. There is no amount of law keeping. For those who love the law, there is no amount of law keeping that can make you righteous. It only makes you proud. Proud. And this is where we have proud Christians. I don't smoke. I don't gossip. I don't fornicate. I don't steal. Be proud of me. That is why God chose me. You understand? That's the kind of believers that he produces, whose noses are up in the air because they think. These are the Pharisees who stand on the corner and they pray and they want everybody to see them because they think that the law has made them righteous. Now, maybe we were like that, but no longer anymore are we like that. We know that no man can boast in the presence of God, okay? So the law cannot save anybody. No matter how much you keep that law cannot save you, okay? And the law cannot produce holiness. We talked about holiness. Holiness cannot be produced by behavior, even if you are the most well-behaved, yeah? So have you ever heard of people who saying that, oh, you know, some people who are not even born again behave better than some Christians who claim to be born again? Yes, they are better behaved, but they are still going to hell because it's not good behavior that saves you. Do you understand? So we are not talking about morals here. We are not talking about morality. We are not talking about character. We are not talking about goodness. We are talking about the salvation that comes through Christ. Is morality bad? No. We should be moral because we are in Christ, not so that we can get into Christ. Are you getting the difference? Yeah. So Galatians 3:24. Okay? The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. What is a tutor? Your teacher. The law was our teacher to bring us to who? To Christ. Okay? So the law leads you to Christ, but the law does not replace Christ. So the law is good. The law shows us sin. The law shows us what God expects. The law led us to Christ, but the law could not save because That was not God's intention. Okay? Now, to understand that better, we need to understand number three, the problem with the law. Because the law, if the law was perfect, then there was no need for Jesus to die. There was no need for Jesus to come and replace a new covenant with a covenant that was already functional. We have a saying where we say there is no need to reinvent the wheel. If something is working, let it be, unless you have something better. So we don't keep reinventing. But Romans 8:3 says, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Okay? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did what? God sent his Son for sin and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. It's a complicated scripture, but in the bottom line, what it is saying is this. The problem is not the law. The law is perfect, because the law has no issue. You understand? Where is the problem? The problem is human nature. It's human nature, because the law is perfect. The only problem is that human nature cannot keep that law. And that is why I told you, the Bible teaches us that the death of Jesus was not a second thought. You know, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? That I always thought, and we have taught this, and we have talked about this, and probably you have thought about this, and people have said this, if only Eve never ate the fruit, everything would have been perfect. But let me tell you, even if Eve did not eat the fruit, one of her children were going to eat that fruit. As they grew and became many, one of their neighbors was going to eat that fruit. So somewhere along the line, if it was not her, probably David or the generations ahead, somebody was going to eat that fruit. And you need to understand what that fruit was, because that fruit was not an apple. You understand? So what you need to understand at this point, the Bible teaches that Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the earth. That means before anybody ever sinned, before Adam sinned, before Eve sinned, before any human had ever sinned, Christ was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the Lamb. That is Revelation. So Christ had already been slain, because God knew somebody somewhere, leave alone Adam or Eve, somebody somewhere was going to misbehave, and that was going to bring a problem in that lineage. And he had already provided a solution. That is why we are confident in God, because God is not a reactor. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how everything is going to play out. And that is why Christ had been slain from the foundations of the earth. It was not an afterthought. Oh man, Adam and Eve have sinned. Now what are we going to do? Let's kill Jesus. That was nothing. That was not God. God was already, he had provided the solution before the problem. That's why God does not need your help in any situation. He is your father. He's the one helping you, not the other way around. Yeah. But this other religious system will make you proud and think, hey, I'm good. I don't sin. I don't do anything wrong. That is why God is using me. No. If God was to use us because of our goodness, none of us would be alive. In fact, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Yeah. So all humanity should have been wiped out from the face of the earth. But by the grace of God, we are alive. So what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So the problem was human nature. And please remember, when we are talking about sin, I'm not talking about stealing, I'm not talking about killing, I'm not talking about adultery and those kind of things. When we talk about sin, the Bible refers to sin as a nature. It's a nature in man that is inclined to do wrong. You understand? It's not the wrong that you do, it's a nature in you. So the law demands perfection. The law demands perfection, but the flesh produces failure. Okay? So the law can only do one thing well. The law can only condemn. The law can only condemn. It can show sin, but it cannot remove sin. can only show sin but cannot remove sin. So what's the use of knowing something that cannot be removed? So number four, what grace does. Now I want you to understand, you see, the law can only reveal sin, can show you you're a sinner, can show you you're doing wrong, can show you you're everything that is not right about you, but it cannot remove the problem, because the problem is not the law, the problem is man, man's heart, man's nature. You understand? So what does the grace do? In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to godliness." Now here is where people, here is where we should answer the question people ask. They say, when you teach about grace, isn't grace giving people a license to sin? The more you talk grace, 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 are you telling people now, let us sin and sin and sin and sin because we are covered? But listen and see what grace teaches you. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness." So the grace of God teaches you to say no to ungodliness. It does not teach you to sin. So if you are sinning and you're in Christ, you can't really be in Christ, because the nature of Christ is not the nature of sin. You can be overtaken by some foolish thing. You can lie somewhere. You can get angry and say something you didn't want to say. You can eat and you are not supposed to be eating. Lack of discipline. You know, all these things that we don't think are wrong. So the grace of God teaches us to say no. So grace does save, okay? Grace teaches us, and grace transforms us. Okay? Grace does what? It saves, it teaches, and it transforms. So grace is not permission to sin. Get that out of your mind. When we are talking about grace, we are not saying, hey, here's your license, go and sin and make a mark in this world. Be branded the most faithful sinner, because grace is abundant. Grace is not permission to sin. Grace is power to live. Grace is power to live. The law says change, so God will accept you. But grace says you are accepted. Now change. You understand? That's why I told you God changes your nature before your character, because your character cannot be transformed from the outside. That is like trying to clothe the pigs. In fact, today there was one, there was a really dirty pig out there. I was praying he doesn't try to come in here. They're really wrapped up in mud. Okay. And those pigs, you can tell somebody probably tries to wash them. I don't know. But no matter how you try to clean a pig will always be a pig, because it has the nature of a pig. Okay, so you are accepted. Now change. And number five, law brings bondage, but grace brings freedom. The law brings bondage, but grace brings freedom. Galatians chapter 5 verses 1. Now remember, the reason I'm quoting all these scriptures, you may not remember them, but you can go back and listen to the message over and over. These are not things you will learn in one sitting. I've told you that. But when they are recorded and they are stored somewhere, you can go back and relearn. It is your responsibility after this to not just assume you heard everything, but to go back and re-listen and listen and listen, and even go back to the beginning until you master what's been said. So the law brings bondage, but grace brings freedom. Galatians 5:1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So the law produces fear, it produces pressure, it produces comparison, it produces pride and despair. Because you think you have done it, then now when you think you have not done it, you are fearful because you think you have failed and you think God is not going to hear your prayers. And there's too much confusion. But grace produces confidence. It produces love. It produces transformation. And then there is fruit. Okay? So the most unloving people who are filled with hatred are people who are always under the law. Because when you understand the mercy of God, you are more gracious and more loving to humanity. Do you understand? So the law works from the outside in, but grace works from the inside out. That's why I told you the law is like trying to wash a pig, but grace is taking the nature of a human and putting it inside the pig. Get the difference? Now, the one you choose determines how hard you're going to work. Because if you're going to wash the pig from the outside, it's going to be an uphill task, because you have to keep the pig locked up. And you will take pride in things. I don't smoke, I don't gossip. And then you'll realize that the following day you have gossiped more than the most gossip you have ever gossiped, because you're trying to do it in your strength. Today I will not be angry. Today I'm going to be kind and gracious. I'm going to be like a monk. I will be quiet and I will be nice to everybody. But the day you try to do that in your flesh, what happens? Is the day your meanness comes to the top, and the devil can learn a few things from you, because you're trying to do it in the flesh. You're trying to do it from the outside. But when the nature changes from the inside, it's no longer I, but Christ in me, working out my salvation and bringing me to perfection. Okay? Number six, believers are not under the law. Now, this is your portion, and this is the place you really need to note. Believers are not under the law. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Yep. So for those of you who still want to be under the law, the Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Can you remind yourself, I am not under the law, but under grace. Okay, so not under the law means I'm not governed by it, I'm not judged by it, and I'm not justified by it. So you do not relate to God by commandments. You relate to God by Christ. Okay? You relate to God by Christ. I like an analogy a certain man of God gave, and he was saying that when we get to the pearly gates, you know, the way people imagine they'll get to the pearly gates and Saint Peter is there and all the people are there waiting to ask us, okay, now tell us why we should allow you to come in here. And you know, some people will say, oh, you know, I was a good Christian. I gave all my riches to the poor. I was a good Christian. I never sinned. I won so many souls for Jesus. You know, I was a good Christian. I sacrificed my life. I did everything the way God wanted. I gave everything I had. I blessed people. I did my calling. So many things. But this man said, when I get to the pearly gate, he said in his mind, I want to believe there will be a large cross, a huge cross somewhere planted near the gate. And when I am asked, give us one reason why you should enter here, I will point to that cross and say the only reason I should be allowed inside here is because of what Jesus did on that cross. That should be your attitude. Never put your nose in the air and think that there is something in you that God wanted and God loved. And God, there was nothing. There was nothing. Just patheticness and failure and human rot and decay. But God in his mercy, God who is rich in his mercy, saved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Not saved, and then he loved us while we were yet sinners. And that is why you should look at the power of the cross. You know, there's this story in the Old Testament when the Israelites had really pissed off God, and then serpents came to bite them. Have you ever read that story? And the serpents were biting them and killing them. And then God told Moses, take a serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on a cross. And whoever looks at the serpent on the cross shall live, even if he has been bitten by the snake. powerful picture of what Christ has done. Now, can you imagine? These guys were not supposed to pray. They were not supposed to fast. They were not supposed to repent their sins. All they needed to do was to do what? To look to the serpent and believe what Moses has said. If you look at the serpent, you shall be saved. That's the same picture of Christ. When you come to Christ, it's not out of your righteousness, not out of your goodness. It's you look and believe that he has saved you. No song, no sacrifice, no nothing. He has saved you. Then after he has saved you, he begins to clean you out. Remember, you cannot clean fish you have not caught. Okay? Number 7, why mixing law and grace is dangerous. Now, this is the mixed multitude that you'll find in the Bible when Moses left Egypt. There was a mixed multitude, the people from Korah and his people and all the people who left. Galatians says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Okay? You have become estranged, separated. You have been moved. You have become a stranger to Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, by works, by trying to do things so that God can accept you. He says, you have fallen from grace. Not me. Galatians chapter 5 verses 4. So mixing produces religious pride. This is where I tell you, this is where people walk with a certain spiritual anger, because they feel we have done this. Please never make the mistake. Never make the mistake of thinking you have done anything. Do you remember when Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem? Okay? And the people began to put their clothes on the ground, and they put leaves on the ground. We've just come from Easter, okay? And they laid so many things on the ground, it would have been a very big, big mistake for the donkey to think that all those clothes and all those bushes and all that honor, all that reverence was for the donkey. That reverence was not for the donkey, it was for who? And who was carrying Jesus? Yeah. Always remember you are the donkey. And even the honor and the respect that people give you, and the honor and the respect people show you, and the way people reverence, it's not you. It's Christ in you. And you should always remember you are the donkey. You are the donkey. And it's only because you carry his presence. Otherwise, if you carry nothing, people will treat you like the donkey you really are. You understand? Yep. Never make that mistake. That will remove pride. That will remove you from making, I arrived. I am first class, a first tier of apostles. You know, we have gradings of, even apostles have tiers. First tier. This is first class apostle. There is second class apostle. And then there is confused apostles. Prophets. First class prophet. There is mightiest prophet, mighty prophet, not so mighty prophet. You know, first class teacher. All these gifts have been categorized by men. They are not in the Bible. This is a foolishness of men of wanting to look better than other men. But the Bible teaches us, esteem yourself as not better than your fellow. So if you don't understand the grace and law, you will find yourself in religious pride. You'll always be afraid of failure. Will I make it to heaven? You know that question. Right now, if you die, where will you find yourself? Do you think you will go to heaven or you will go to hell? You know, there was a time we could not answer that question properly. And people would say, oh, let me first repent just in case. Once you are in Christ, you have assurance and you have been marked with a seal of his Holy Spirit that you will make it to heaven. There's no more performance and there is no more failure. My performance is not so that I can make it to heaven. My performance is out of a life of consecration. It's not so that I can make it. I have already made it. You are now saints. You will not become saints. You will not have eternal life. You already have eternal life right now. When you drop out of this body, you'll just switch realms and continue living. You will also break free from a performance mindset, always trying to perform, to try to outdo God. And this is where churches take advantage of gullible believers to make them and put them on a performance treadmill. You need to fast more. You need to give more. You need to sacrifice more. You need to pray more, to read more. If all those things could save you, then Christ wasted his time going to the cross. All God should have done was set up Bible studies and prayer and fasting centers and made people find their way to heaven. And then you will also have a loss of assurance. I'm not sure. If I died right now, will I make it to heaven? Will I make it to heaven? That mindset is a mindset of a person who is in the law and is living a performance-based life. That doesn't cross my mind. Why? Because I know what it means to be in Christ. So you cannot be partly saved by grace and partly by law. There is nothing, you're partly saved by grace. So you are saved by grace. Now perfect yourself through the law. That is how some people live their Christian life. But the Bible says, now that you have been saved by grace, why don't you move on to perfection in grace? Okay? So it is either Christ finished it or you must finish it. All right? Which one do you prefer? Yeah. You trust in Christ. Okay? And as we wind up, the new covenant way of living. So we are talking about the new covenant way of living. And this is Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10. He says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will put my law. Not they will try to memorize and bring them in. I will put my laws where? In their mind. And I will write them on their hearts. Okay? So grace does not remove righteousness. Grace relocates righteousness. Grace relocates righteousness. We've talked a lot about righteousness. You need to go back to the notes and start connecting the dots. Okay? It's not on tablets of stone. Remember when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, a lot of people are so curious, where is the Ark of the Covenant today? Is it in Ethiopia being kept by that tribe of Ethiopians who are connected to Queen Sheba? It's a waste of time. Nobody cares about that box. Nobody cares about that box. Why? Because today we are the living Ark. We are the carriers of God's presence. There are people who have wasted their entire lives looking for that box and thinking they will find that box and they will reverence God. But remember, God does not live in a box. God does not live in any temple. Even the temple of Solomon, whether it is rebuilt or not rebuilt, God never lived in that temple, because God does not live in temples made by human hands. God lives in us. That is why Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will. What was he talking about? He was telling these people, this junk you're calling a temple is just a building. You people destroy this temple, when he was talking about himself. He was saying, destroy, this is the temple. And he said, destroy it in 3 days, I will rebuild it up. What did Jesus rebuild in 3 days? Because this is the temple. So just in case you enter buildings and you reverence buildings, that is a sign that something is wrong with your head. You understand? If you ever enter a building and you feel, this building, this is pure holiness, God lives here, there's some psychological problem in your head that needs realigning with scripture. I know there are entire religions that reverence buildings and they have no respect for their fellow humans who are the real carriers of God's presence. So if you want to know if you used to smoke weed or your mother breastfed you with some drops of weed in milk, is the day you get into a building and you have reverence for a building, but you have no reverence for your fellow human being. Those are side effects of drugs. not by external forces, by internal life. We don't live by external forces. We live by an internal life. That is why I told you, every day you find yourself, your appetites and your whatever's change, because something is happening on the inside. At number 9, law versus grace. This is our summary. Okay? The law commands, the law condemns, the law kills, the law works externally. Okay? But grace gives, grace justifies, grace gives life, and grace works internally. Let me say that again. The law commands, do this, do that, wash your feet, do this and do that. It condemns, I'll explain that. It kills and works externally. But grace gives, justifies, gives life, and works internally. Now, in Numbers, I think Numbers. It should be 13, I'm not sure. But in the book of Numbers, there is a story about a guy who was walking in the wilderness and he was collecting sticks to go and cook. And some of the people found him collecting sticks, and it was on the Sabbath. And they took him to Moses. And when he took him to Moses, they said it was not really clear in the law what is supposed to happen to this man who was caught collecting sticks. And they said the law of Moses says, if you are caught working on the Sabbath, you are supposed to be killed. And they took him out of the camp and they stoned him to death. This guy was collecting sticks, probably a poor man who didn't have much food, because when you're collecting sticks to cook, it means you have to control the fire because the food is little. That's the law. Fast forward, come into John, I think chapter 8. Verses 1. A woman is caught in adultery. Okay? Caught in the act of adultery. Not suspicion of being adultery. The Bible says she was caught in the act of adultery. She's brought before Jesus. And they tell Jesus, Master, the law of Moses states that this sin is punishable by death. And she should be stoned. Of course, he writes, you know the story. He writes on the ground. We're not getting into those details. But then Jesus tells her, what does he tell her? Where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. The law stones you for collecting sticks. But grace sets an adulterer free. Now somebody may say, isn't that allowing and encouraging people to sin? I don't know about you. I do not understand the science and the mathematics behind it. But if I'm going to follow someone, I'm not going to follow Moses. Moses will get you killed for nothing. I want to follow Jesus. Are you happy that he set free an adulterer? I don't know. You probably wish she was burned on the stake. But that same grace is the same grace that has been extended to you, who should have been killed for your sin. Because from a child, if somebody took an account of all the things you have done, the stealing, the meanness, the wrong things you have done, you are not supposed to be alive today. So the law says do or die, but grace says live, because Christ died. So a practical application is stop relating to God through rules. Relate to God through Christ. Get that in your mind. Relate to God through Christ. Reject fear-based obedience and love God from love, not from terror. Okay? Don't relate to God through fear. Reject fear-based obedience. You know, there is that fear-based obedience. I remember once there was a time a certain man was preaching. And I know he was trying to stress why giving is important and all that. But what he did was what really annoyed me, because he said, you know, there was a man whom God had told to give an offering. And then this man refused to give offering. And then he went and when he was riding his motorbike home, he had a serious accident and he broke his leg. And then he used all the money he was supposed to have given to the house of God, including other money. And that's nonsense. That is manipulation. That is witchcraft. Anytime you hear somebody speaking like that, you know you're dealing with a witch. It is no more different from the things you see on Facebook. If you don't type, if you don't like this, yeah, if you don't like this, your family is going to go to hell. You know, if you love Jesus, do what? Give Jesus. Yeah, likes for Jesus, so that you can make it too. Yeah, if you've never seen witchcraft, just in case you thought witchcraft is voodoo. That's not witchcraft. Those are demented people. Witchcraft is when you're trying to manipulate people. And most of the greatest witches are in suits. And they are well-dressed. And probably on pulpits today. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you, understand when there is fear being thrown out to manipulate, that's the spirit of witchcraft. So you reject fear-based obedience and you obey God from love, not from terror or fear. God is going to burn you and your family. If you don't tithe, if you don't give, the devourer will come for you. And God is going to kill you for collecting sticks to cook a meal. What a God. And we should encourage each other and teach grace clearly. Teach grace clearly. A lot of grace preachers are not like, because they look like they are trying to allow people to sin, okay? So we teach grace clearly, not law dressed as grace. I know while trying to bring balance, we try to mix the law and grace. But remember, we are called to preach what Christ has told us to preach. We are ambassadors. Doesn't the Bible call us ambassadors? Who is an ambassador? An ambassador is a person in a foreign land who represents their country. And when you ask an ambassador a question, an ambassador's response is not, I think. I think this is what should be. Never. An ambassador always answers and says, my government's position is this. So we are ambassadors of Christ, and we only speak our government's position, not fear dressed as holiness. Don't preach fear that looks like holiness. It's possible to do that. So this is our conclusion. The law reveals sin, but grace removes sin. The law shows the standard. Grace supplies life. Okay? The law demands righteousness, but grace gives righteousness. So Christianity is not self-effort with Bible verses. That is self-pumping yourself with Christian verses. That is not it. Christianity is Christ's finished work received by faith. Are you understanding? It's Christ's finished work received by faith. So we do not live trying to keep the law. We live walking in grace. And that is why Christ is our message. Father, we thank you for your word. May you bless every listener. May you grant them understanding. And I pray this message goes far and wide. And more so, people may increase in the knowledge of God and learning the right thing. Thank you for hearing us, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Honey from the Rock Ministry. We are a Christ-centered church, serving Jesus our Lord.